When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This historic pick, first time ever the Chicago Blackhawks have had the first pick, and we proudly select Patrick Kane.
What's up, Chicago?
Kane's going down the slide, he's got the puck. Score! Oh, boy!
First NHL goal.
Patrick Kane, a spinorama, backhander, he scores! Patrick Kane putting on a show on St. Paddy's weekend for Savoie Faire!
Is that a Superman, Kane?
He is Clark Kent and Superman all at once. That's not fair.
Kane, backhand shot, he scores!
A playoff hat trick. Playoff performances create superstars. You've got one in the making here.
What chaos! Patrick Kane with the shot. Word has gotten to the Blackhawks what you have just seen. One of the more unusual finishes, but it's a goal. The Stanley Cup to the Chicago Blackhawks.
He's a big-time player. He's got hardware now to back it up. Conn Smythe Trophy winner.
And the Hart Trophy goes to Patrick Kane.
2 seconds and one. The Blackhawks are Stanley Cup champions. Let's hear from number 88, Patrick Kane.
They've waited a long time for this to be at home. For the third time in 6 years, the Blackhawks are Stanley Cup champions.
Kane delays. He'll drag in his shot. He scores! That's 400 for Patrick Kane.
That's hockey, baby!
Back, Cogburn Sports Radio 6-7 The Score. I'm David Hall, along with Mark Grody, talking hockey here at Kaiser Tiger, 1415 West Randolph. Thank you to BetMGM for putting this all together and celebrating Chelly, whose jersey number 7 goes into the rafters when the Red Wings play the Blackhawks at 5 o'clock. The ceremony is at 3:15. And it is a pleasure to talk hockey all day long. We're trying to connect with Dale Tallon, whose voice you heard making the pick for the Blackhawks back when they drafted Patrick Kane number 1 overall. Today is a great day because Connor Bedard, who was the next guy picked number 1 overall, and that bridge between Patrick Kane and Connor Bedard, it covered a lot of ground and it covered a lot of success. 3 cups. And then a scandal, and then rebuilding, and here's Bedard. And the ceiling for Connor Bedard is what Patrick Kane has accomplished. I think when you look at what people expect from him, that's a lot to say. That's a mouthful to say that Patrick Kane's career is what Connor Bedard can become. And yet nobody, I don't want to say nobody, but most of the people that have seen Connor Bedard play this year wouldn't hesitate in agreeing with that assessment. He is that good that soon.
You can see the skill. You can see the presence of mind, the puck handling ability that Connor Bedard has. That was like the, to me, watching a lot of Patrick Kane's games is what stood out to me, is when he had the puck, you felt comfortable. You trusted him with it. You knew he was going to make the right pass, obviously, make the right shot, make a lot of goals. The really impressive part about Patrick Kane, and this is something that, assuming we do hook up with Dale Talon, who drafted him and longtime broadcaster as well, is that you look at somebody like that. It was kind of a no-brainer pick. I mean, Patrick Kane was the undisputed number one guy that year as well. He lived up to expectations. It's pretty rare when a number one overall in any sport, or even guy, you know, let's just even say top five, or that big free agent, when they absolutely 100% live up to expectations, and with the three cups, even more. So to come in with that kind of pressure at that age, 18 years old, 18 or 19 when he came into the league, he and Taves were both teenagers when they came into the league, and I know, like, Kane had his issues, for sure, but I'll be damned if that guy didn't live up to every ounce of the expectation that was put on him.
I think he did. I think that's a good way to look at it, Mark. I think when you talk about when they arrived at the same time, Jonathan Taves and Patrick Kane, it was always Kane and Tane, Taves and Kane, yep. Kane and Taves. I mean, whichever one you wanted to put first. And for a while in town, there was that debate. Which one could you live without? Who's the most indispensable Blackhawk? Who's the most valuable Blackhawk? And I think it went back and forth. You know, Jonathan Toews was probably the best captain in Blackhawk history. Maybe Sam Mikita, people can, you know, I think it's generational. It's difficult to compare eras. But the Kane-Toews dynamic was one that was comparable in Chicago lingo, in Chicago tradition. It was Jordan and Pippen.
Mm-hmm.
Because they won six and Kane and Toews won three. But it was comparable to that. They had the chemistry. They had the innate ability to know where each other was going to be on the ice. They didn't always play together on the same line. When Joe Quenneville arrived, he decided to split them up, and that made a lot of sense. Kaner was your second line wing, and obviously Jonathan Toews was your first line center. And I think they had this idea that when they needed them, it was like break glass in case of emergency.
Yes, yes.
That's when you went to your nuclear option. And that's when they were able to bring the Hawks back or do the things that they did. And I think the difference in them, another one of many differences probably between the two, Patrick Kane did everything with flair. There was a lot of pizzazz. There was a lot of, you know, it was showtime. And it was Showtime and Captain Sirius. So they had very different personalities that played each other off each other very well. And I think that's why, to me, I respected Jonathan Toews as much as anybody. And I also think that Patrick Kane is a guy that I liked watching more than anybody. So you can appreciate both. And certainly our next guest can relate to that. Because Dale Talon was a general manager that selected Patrick Kane, the general manager who also was in the front office when Chris Chelios was a Blackhawk for the last season in Chicago, can relate to a lot what we're talking about today. Dale, thank you for joining us here on The Score with David Haw and Mark Grody here until 3 o'clock. How are you doing today? And when we talk about drafting Patrick Kane, what kind of memories does that produce in your mind?
Well, sheer joy, you know, and just gratitude that those kids were able to live up to their expectations and do it with flair and panache and passion and, you know, with love for each other, too. You know, it was a great team that got along really well. I think, you know, Jonathan being a Canadian and Kaner being an American, at first you think, well, the different upbringings, there might be different in the room, you know, but it worked. They respected and liked each other a lot and performed differently, but performed with the same passion and desire to win. And that's what made it so great, the coming together, you know, as a team.
Dale, you mentioned living up to expectations, and I think it's really hard for athletes in general to live up to expectations, let alone as Patrick Kane was, as as Connor Bedard was, the number one overall pick. How impressive is it that Patrick Kane lived up to all the hype and then more?
Well, that's the question mark when you're drafting so high and you're first overall. You know, a lot of guys crumble under that pressure. But he handled it, and you could tell that's why we took him first overall when we won the lottery. You know, we saw him play in tough situations in the Ontario League with London. And he was fearless, you know, and he knew he could handle this and handle the fame. And that's the big part of it. You know, a lot of these kids might have more ability, but handling being the first overall pick is not an easy chore for a 17, 18-year-old kid, as we all know. And, you know, when you're 17, 18, you know, that's why I'm glad I had loafers, because I couldn't tie my shoes, you know, so at that age. But these kids really grew into men in a hurry, and it was great to see.
Dale, even though you weren't necessarily surprised that he lived up to the hype because of this skill set, I do think when you draft somebody like that, do you know immediately that this is somebody who's capable of putting together a Hall of Fame career that can be the, you know, the best player on a championship team? I mean, it's easy to say now that, boy, all that talent was there, but did you see something special, or how early was it in the evaluation process that you saw that special quality in Patrick Kane?
Well, I saw him in a playoff game, Rick Dudley and I. He got hammered by Jared Bull, and Jared Bull was 6'4", 220, and he hammered him and he hit him. And he got up and got two goals and two assists, and they won 4-0. And, you know, that's when we knew that he was special.
Dale, yeah. I mean, that definitely hammers it home for sure. Dale, just going in a slightly different direction here, for people who don't know, Dale Talon, obviously an executive in the NHL now, was a Blackhawks GM, and before that, many years as a Blackhawks. Before Eddie Olczyk, there was Dale Talon, who was great as well, had awesome chemistry with Pat Foley. He was a blast to listen to. I learned a lot of hockey from Dale Talon. Chris Chelios is number 7, being retired very close to us where we are right now, the west side of Chicago today. What do you think of when you think of Chris Chelios and calling a lot of his games as you did? Did we lose Dale?
Did we lose Dale?
We have lost Dale. I bet Dale really liked him, though. That'd be my guess.
My guess is that.
I bet he thought he was neat. Yeah.
Yeah, calling Chelios' games would be a lot of fun because he was one of those guys that liked to mix it up. And Dale Talon wasn't shy in mixing it up a little bit, offering some strong opinions. And we'll try to reconnect with Dale Talon.
Yeah.
I think that when you look at that team that was put together in 2010, the one that won the first of three cups, he had a lot to do with those guys. He had a lot to do with the core of putting it together. He mentioned Kane and Taze, and here he's back. And Mark Grody asked you, Dale, thank you for rejoining us here, about what it was like to call games for Chris with Chris Chelios on the ice.
Well, it was never a dull moment. He just loved his passion. And he wasn't going to be outworked. He won every battle. I mean, he just had this drive and desire and the fearlessness. You know, he played the game the way it was supposed to be played, just all in every shift. And it was fun to watch him play with such, you know, I look at a kid in Florida, and Matthew Tkachuk plays the same way. You know, they're just absolutely fearless, and nothing will deter them. They'll win every battle they possibly can. And that's a lot of joy to watch guys that are so committed to their profession like they are.
So, Dale, also you were in the front office during Chris's last season as a Blackhawk. What was that like in terms of the goodbye? Because who would have thought that he would go to Detroit and play into his late 40s, win a couple cups, and be the kind of former Red Wing that they're very proud of as well in the enemy territory? But when he was the last season as a Blackhawk, was that a smooth departure, or how would you describe it?
Well, it wasn't easy. I mean, this is the guy that you want to build your team around, but we were rebuilding, and we needed to get some assets, and the team wasn't going anywhere. And this was an opportunity for not only for us to get some assets back, but for him to go. Scotty Bowman was the coach. Detroit had a really good team. He was the missing ingredient for that team. And he went there and with a chance to win some cups, which he did. And extended his career. You know, he probably would have been more frustrated staying here, playing with a bunch of young guys that were, you know, not quite ready to play yet. So, and all in all, it was a win-win, and I was happy that Chris was able to have success there and do as well as he did and prolonged his career. But, you know, it's never easy trading guys you like, and you idolize and you think are fantastic, not only off the ice, but on the ice. And that was, they're never easy, those deals, you know, and it's a tough job. And it's hard, you know, to make a commitment. You know, I mean, there are going to be contracts this year, you know, in Boston and different teams around the league where guys have been there. You know, what's Pittsburgh going to do? What's Boston going to do with their, you know, like, so you have to be, you know, dedicated to the goal of rebuilding or what you're going to get back. And it's never easy. You know, when do you pull the plug? You know, and that was the decision we made. And it worked out for Chelly, which was great.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. And in those 90s, the Blackhawks build it up to the point where they get into the finals against Pittsburgh in 1994. And I've really asked somebody about this today because they were swept by Pittsburgh that year. I mean, to me, I look at that as one of those, like, Chicago moments where you had, like, I really thought they had a chance to win it that year. But what do you remember from that Pittsburgh series? And in the big picture, how disappointing was it that they weren't able to make a dent in those finals?
Well, the games were a lot closer than, you know, the 4-0 outcome. You know, we won 12 in a row to get to the finals, and then trailed 1-0 after the first period in Pittsburgh in the first game, and outshot them 14-5 or something, and then their stars took over, you know, and then the last game was a 1-0 victory, I believe, from Pittsburgh in Chicago. So, when you get to the finals, and you don't achieve your goal, it's really frustrating. It's probably more frustrating than missing the playoffs, because you've gone so far and traveled so and done so much and expended so much energy to get there, and to have it not get over the mountain like that is really tough to swallow for the rest of the off season. But it was tough. You know, I can still remember the backhand shot from Jágr, you know, the shot that you don't see that often from that distance. And, you know, it was a 35-40-foot backhand shot.
Oof. Yeah, that was, those,
I think
they
he's still
were
playing.
A...
I think he's still playing, Dale. He plays forever. He's even played longer than Chelly.
Well, we brought him to Florida when I was there, and for 3 years. And our young players like Barkov and those guys learn from him. His off ice is same as Chelly. His off ice. I mean, nobody trained harder, you know, like Chelly would go out to California and play and run the mountains and do everything necessary, you know, ride the bike in the sun, all those things that great players do to become greater. You know, the determination and the desire, those guys have that. And that's what separates them from guys with maybe more talent. And I think that's what Taves and Kane and Keith and Seabrook and Chelly and all these guys have. You know, and that's what separates those great players is the determination, the love, and the passion.
All right, Dale, before we let you go, and this might seem like a ridiculous question, but we're talking about greatness and we're talking about potential and expectations and hype. Is it ridiculous to sit here and watch Connor Bedard through his rookie season play the way that he has played when healthy and to wonder if his career one day can be as good as, if not better than, Patrick Kane's?
Well, those are big shoes to fill, but I think this kid has the ability and the desire and the passion. And as I stated about the other guys before, he has that. He has the X factor. He wants to be better already. He's first guy on the ice, last guy off. He trains hard. He wants to be the guy. They want these great players. They want the puck when the game's on the line, and this kid has that. So, you know, anything can happen, obviously, but he's not going to let this go for chance. He's going to really dig in, and he's going to be a great player. You see it already. You know, he still takes over games at his young age with a team that doesn't have a lot of ability around him. You know, and guys are targeting him, and he's still able to perform and get production. So it's fun to see, and I think he has a chance to get to Patrick Kane's level or Jonathan Taves' level.
I was going to believe that you've never received enough credit for the 2010 Stanley Cup champion Blackhawks, the team that you helped put together, the core that you helped form. So thank you very much for your time, and I hope that people realize just what you have meant to the Blackhawks in your day as well.
Well, I appreciate it. It was a
real joy to be here and to work there and do that and see the what happened. So hopefully they'll get success sooner than later and get back to that.
Neil Talon, former Blackhawk general manager, announcer, and just all-around good guy. Thanks for joining us. Mark Grody, that was fun.
That was great. I mean, it's always feels good to hear from Dale Talon, whether you know you remember him as a broadcaster or not, through a lot of really good times with the Blackhawks and then as a GM. And it is a shame that he was not able to see it through. There was some financial trouble that was going on, and the Bowmans then step in and kind of get to take it from there. But, yeah, Dale Talon's part was very big in the Blackhawks, all three of their titles, quite
frankly.
He was
the general manager, before we break here, of the Hawk team that got to the Western Conference Finals and lost to Chris Chelios and
Detroit.
The Red Wings.
Yep.
And that was the team that was a year ahead of schedule.
Yes, it was.
And then in that offseason, and I will remember it like vividly, that there was a big change in the front office, and he was out. Bowman was in.
Yeah.
And Stan Bowman took over.
He got them in a little bit of trouble, Dale Talon did, with the salary cap, you know, in terms of over expenditures.
You want to be picky.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
I'm looking big picture.
I'm talking about what happened.
I'm talking about what happened, too.
Don't make me the bad guy.
I'm making you the villain.
I got a soft spot.
You play the villain role.
I'm trying to learn you what happened, Haw. That's what happened.
Hero and the villain here until 3 o'clock. We're talking hockey at 1415 West Randolph. Come into Kaiser Tiger. We're on the second floor. Can't wait to eat the cheeseburger that's been set in front of me. I'm hungry. You can order food. You can order drink. You can get ready because the Hawks play the Red Wings at 5 o'clock down the street. Chris Chelios has his jersey retired, number 7 at 315. And thank you to BetMGM for putting us in this situation where we can enjoy it all. And you can enjoy us for the rest of the show until 3 o'clock. Mark Grody, David Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's get back to the BetMGM special honoring Chris Chelios, broadcasting live at Kaiser Tiger, located at 1415 West Randolph. Brought to you by 670 The Score and BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks.
Now Cummins works against Babbage in the corner, and a couple of others lock up. It squirts loose as Savard walks in front of the net. Center Chelios right in. Hawks win! Hawks win again! Chris Chelios in overtime after the Savard setup. Chelios again with a great read, sensing the play developing, found the open ice. Savard found him. Hawks are into the Western Conference Finals.
Welcome back. It's David Hall with Mark Grody at the special 6-7 Scores hockey broadcast honoring Chris Chelios, having his jersey number 7 retired. We are at Kaiser Tiger, 1415 West Randolph on the second floor. Come and join us. We're going to be here until 3 o'clock. Thank you to BetMGM for all the hospitality and setting this all up. That was a goal from Chris Chelios combining with Dennis Savard. You know it was 90s. You know it was 90s hockey. Wow. That was pretty cool, Mark Grody. And Chris Chelios having the number 7 retired today. We got to... Connor Bedard shows up today to play the Red Wings wearing that jersey.
Unbelievable.
In black,
yep.
Vintage Chris Chelios jersey with the C on the front, uh-huh. 7 on the back. This kid not only has great awareness on the ice, but better awareness off it.
Oh, yeah. He seems to have a real appreciation for the history of the game, a fan of the game, which makes sense considering where he's from and what he's done his entire life. But I am a sucker for that kind of stuff. I'm not saying this sarcastically, when I saw this video of Connor Bedard walking in with the number 7 jersey, mm-hmm. with the captain, as you said, Captain C on there, I got goosebumps. That was so, I thought it was, all right, here's the question, Haw. You ready for this?
Yep.
You ready for
I'm
me?
Ready.
Ready for this? What would have been cooler? Him walking in the Kane jersey or the Chelly jersey?
I think the Chelly jersey is perfect because if you walk into the Kane jersey, you may rankle some teammates. You may have some people who might like, hey, how can you be like show that kind of respect to somebody we're going to try to stop?
Plus, it is Chelios' day.
It's Chelios' day.
Yeah.
He understands the moment, the gravity of the situation. And if you wear Kaner's jersey, everyone here is entitled to. If you're a fan, I mean, break out the 88. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Belfort.
We've seen a lot of. We got another Eddie Belfort representation here at Kaiser Tiger.
That was Chelios' goalie.
I just don't think that it would have been appropriate for Bedard to wear Kane's jersey, but Chelios, that was pitch perfect. And I think that tells you what kind of hockey savant Connor Bedard is. He's a prodigy. He's a savant. He's a superstar in the making if he isn't already. All right, we have talked to so many good people today. Reflecting on Chris Chelios' career, Steve Larmer, Doug Wilson, Dale Talon, Steve Rosenblum. Now it's your turn. 312-644-6767. Call or text. Let us know what you remember most about Chris Chelios. Maybe you want to wonder or weigh in on whose jersey should be retired next. We talked about Steve Larmer. Some people think it should be Duncan Keith. Other people might have a different opinion. Which Blackhawk do you think should have his number retired first? And then, lastly, this is the big one, Grody. If you have a 98 Bedard jersey and an 88 Kaner jersey and you're going to the United Center today, which one are you wearing?
Mm-hmm.
Which one are you pulling out of the closet? You can't wear both. You can't wear one on the front, one on the back. So let us know, 312-644-6767. We want to talk to you to see what you think. And let's start the conversation on our listener line brought to you by BetQL. Don is on the road. Good afternoon, Don. Thank you for calling the Score.
Hey, boys, great show. It's good to have excitement back in hockey. Two quick points for you. You know, it's interesting that when Kane got picked, if I recall, Kyle Turris was also in play as the number one pick. He ended up having a pretty mediocre career in the NHL, but he was a big right-handed center coming out of the juniors. So give Dale Talon credit for that. And the second point I wanted to make is, you know, Stan Bowman, I believe, was the cap manager when all those contracts got filed late with the NHL, which cost the Blackhawks a lot of money. And I think that was kind of, Dale Tallon was the scapegoat as the McDonough-Scotty Bowman power play started happening. So I think, Grody, I wanted you to check the math on that.
Yeah,
I will
go back and look, but there was something Bowman might have messed up something as well, but I do believe it was Dale Tallon who got them in all that trouble, because remember it was the Hossa deal was a 12-year deal, and I understand why they had to do that, but it was after all of those teams, every year you were losing guys off of that roster. Unfortunately, I think there was some late filing by Dale Tallon.
I don't think this is revisionist history. I think this is what happened. If you go back to those days, when you look at what happened when Rocky Wirtz took over for his father when he passed away, and you look at what the Hawks became in the early years of John McDonough. John McDonough was a hospital corners type of guy and leader and executive. Dale Tallon was an old school hockey evaluator who probably as a general manager didn't always do things in the way that John McDonough wanted. It wasn't the type of direction the organization was headed. It was no longer going to be old school the way we've always done things. It was going to be like, we're going to dot every I and cross every T. Stan Bowman has an accounting background.
Right.
I mean, so this was somebody who came to the Hawks in that role. He ascended through the organization back in those days, and it was deemed he was ready because the Hawks needed to have that structure, that consistency. That doesn't necessarily diminish anything that Dale Tallon did to put that team together. He will always deserve credit for that first cup title. And then Stan Bowman probably had a bigger hand in all of than the two others. But I think that what was going on there. So the cap management is not I don't think it's a flawed memory, Grody. I think you're onto something.
Yeah, there was something to that for sure. And I mentioned it because I think if you're going to tell the story of Dale Tallon and how he didn't get to oversee all those, I think that you have to mention that. But at the same time, yeah, he drafted Kane and Taves. And to your point, he was different, is different from Stan Bowman in that he's like more of the fans' GM. He's like, give me this guy. Give me Hossa.
Lead
give me
with
Andrew
the heart
Ladd.
Before the head.
Yeah, that's what he did. And
smart
he had
guy,
that
but
mentality.
Emotional guy.
Exactly. So I don't fault him for that, but let's just be real about what went down. And they, you know, it's not like you couldn't have kept Dale Tallon despite that error, if you want to call it that, but that has to be.
And Dale went to Florida and also had, you know, another bite at the apple, if you will. So it wasn't as if that was his last job.
Absolutely.
I want to go back to the draft because we are obsessed with the draft here in Chicago. I don't know if you heard, Grody, but the Bears are on the clock.
Bears
are on the clock in the NFL.
Yes.
So this is their chance to have the number one overall pick, Caleb Williams or Drake May, or if they stay there, what quarterback will they take? It was referenced the 2007 NHL draft, and Patrick Kane and Kyle Turris were two of the biggest prospects available. Now, James Van Riemsdyk was also drafted with the Flyers, number two.
Because his name was Van Riemsdyk.
Yes, of course.
There's another.
The flying Van Riemsdyks.
Yeah,
and you look at the Kane-Turris debate, and I wonder if back in those days, from a hockey perspective, it was Caleb Williams, Drake May, or Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud. Dale Tallon made the right choice. So if you want to put it in the current day context, in 2007.
He could have gotten cute.
He could have been like, I need to prove that I'm the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah.
I'm going to impress all my hockey buddies. But he didn't. He took the obvious choice. It's a lesson that maybe Ryan Poles should revisit and think of. He took Patrick Kane, and the rest literally is history.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, Patrick Kane had the biggest goals in a Blackhawks uniform.
Best ever.
You know, absolutely. I mean,
best ever,
Grody. I mean, that was the best ever goal, right? I mean, to win. The only Blackhawk that's ever won a Stanley Cup title with a goal.
Yes.
That was
They're still looking for the puck.
Yeah, they're still looking
for the puck.
Where is the puck? God,
if you can find the puck, 312-644-6767, let us know where it is. Let's get back to the phone lines, Mark, because Dave is in Arlington Heights, and he has a memory of Chris Chelios. Good afternoon, Dave. How are you?
Dave.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
That's right.
I just, as a Blackhawk fan from the 80s, you know, I think there's the irony of ironies. You know, the Bulls got lucky with Michael Jordan. The Blackhawks got lucky with Dennis Savard, and the Montreal Canadiens kicked themselves for taking Doug Wickenheiser. 10 years later, Keenan was smart enough. Nobody liked him, but he was smart enough to play on the heartstrings of Montreal and get Chris Chelios back. And then to cap it all, what happened? A nice pass from Savard to Chelios to end the Vancouver series and go to one of the best series was the 95 Detroit Red Wing Blackhawk, couple overtimes. I know you got a lot of callers, but, man, that's what I remember.
Thanks, Dave. That's a great memory.
It is. Yeah, I want to get more into the Wickenheiser stuff if we can. I mean, we've talked so much about Chelios and Kane today. Wickenheiser finally come up.
That's next Sunday.
Yeah, I think.
That's next Sunday's tribute. Let's tell MGM. Let's do it again. This time the Wickenheiser.
Wickenheiser.
Let's go back to the phone line. Steve is on the road. Steve, thank you for calling the score.
Hey, my memory. Hello?
Go ahead.
Sorry, man. Go ahead.
Sorry. My memory of Chris Chelios is that he's not the biggest guy in the world. I bumped into him at a hotel lobby, the Adams Mark in St. Louis. They were down there to play the Blues, and the Blackhawks bus pulled up, and he's the first off, and I almost ran right into him accidentally. And we're looking at him. I'm looking him right in the eye, and he's like, I don't know, just 5'11", 190. He's still more like a golfer than a big, bruising defenseman. And I think it's, I mean, am I wrong?
He's not a monster.
Steve.
Duncan Keith, same.
It's a great call, Steve.
Yeah.
Right now, I mean, Chelly looks like he's a surfer.
Yeah. I mean, no, he was just like a smaller, you know,
perpetual
ridiculously
tan.
Always tan.
Always looking like a million bucks.
Yeah.
Man about town.
Dirty little secret. There's a lot of smaller hockey players. Duncan Keith was a small guy, is a small guy.
Duncan Keith is not somebody you look at and you think immediately, wow, that is the best defenseman in Blackhawk history.
Right, well, you don't look at Kane and say,
Patrick
wow.
Kane is the guy you look at and you say, wow, okay, show your ID, sir.
Yeah, exactly.
Until he started to lose his hair, he looked like the youngest guy.
Until
he hit 30. He was like the most youthful-looking superstar in all of sports.
It felt like both Kane and Taves were both between 19 and 21 for 10 years. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they were always ridiculously young.
The difference was when Taves was interviewed, he was like 19 going on 40. Patrick Kane was 25 going on 17.
Oh, my God. Captain Serious for sure.
I wonder if he will be here today.
That's a good question.
I saw Duncan Keith is in town.
Yeah.
He was at the game Friday night.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think that when you talk about Chelly's circle of friends, I wonder how wide that – well, I mean, that could
– I mean, it's
that could be a number of different directions.
It's a good opportunity, and you know how these things, they kind of turn – I mean, obviously, this is centered on Chris Chelios, but they turn into mini reunion weekends.
It does.
When you start to get other players here. I bet there'll be some cool surprises. I mean, I'm going to be watching this.
And if Brent Seabrook is here, I think the debate could be who's the best number seven in the building.
Oh, my – oh, wow. Oh, man. You would debate
I got a dagger.
You would debate Brent Seabrook and Chris Chelios and who was better on the overall?
I don't know that I would debate it, but I do want to look at a comparison when we come back. Our final segment, our final shift, if you will, Grody.
Oh, there you
Talking hockey here.
You're
keep it
good,
in the hockey
man.
Parlance. Mark Grody, David Haw here at Kaiser Tiger, 1415 West Randolph. BetMGM throwing a party for Chris Chelios because his jersey's going into the rafters at 315 over at the United Center. Good old number seven. We'll come back and wrap things up on 670 The Score.
The most important thing to me was what my friends and family thought of me and how they perceived me as a person, a teammate, and a player. I owe everything in my life to my family, my friends, and this great game of hockey. Thank you for the fans and the media also. You were always fair to me. And I always said that somehow I'd remain in hockey in some capacity. But if this is the last time that I'm ever standing front and center in this type of setting, I just want to say, what a great ending. Thank you very much, everybody.
Welcome back. David Hall, Mark Grody, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score, at Kaiser Tiger, at the celebration of Chris Chelios, whose jersey number 7 will be retired at 3:15, just in a little bit, over at the United Center. Thank you to BetMGM again for bringing us together today to celebrate the career of Chris Chelios. That was a terrific snippet out of his Hall of Fame speech. Somebody who never forgot where he came from. A guy who started out his hockey career when his mom bought a $5 pair of skates in Evergreen Park at the Ace Hardware. And he used to stuff, socks in them until they fit right. And then he was playing goalie with boots until he was had a pair of skates. And then the rest really became hockey history. He started modestly, and he's ending emphatically. And today he gets his just due, and I think that you can hear the emotion in his voice when we talked to him earlier. Chris Chelios, forever one of the great Blackhawks.
Well, and a guy who, as we always talk about, players being, especially in football, you know, covering the Bears, you hear, you got to be obsessed with football. You got to love football. Chris Chelios was, I'm just going to use the word obsessed. I mean, I say loved because that man was playing, wasn't he 48 when he was still playing hockey? That man, at one point in time, decided to, you know what I'm going to do? Since I live in the area, I think I'll go play for the Chicago Wolves. And the Wolves are, they were.
I remember going out there doing a column on that.
I bet you did.
I did a column on Chris Chelios. What are you doing here? Why are you still?
What are you doing?
Why are you still skating? What?
Yeah.
You know?
Right. So he was obsessed. I think that that's the right. And of course, he loved hockey too. But that's an interesting part of the psychology. I mean, and the guests that we've had on today have been excellent. But, you know, just like getting to the bottom of a guy who would not put it away, and he did. He did play. The Atlanta Thrashers eventually did call him up, and he played at the age of 48. But, I mean, outstanding legacy and a guy who just, like, truly, you know, wasn't disingenuous. Loved hockey, was obsessed with
hockey. Maniacal pursuit of excellence. Maniacal.
That's such a good word.
That was the way that he approached each and every season, each and every shift, each and every off-season day when he would work out by throwing the exercise bike in the sauna and just to burn some calories.
I love
also,
that
what I've always respected about Chris Chelios, getting to know him a little bit more and talking to him on a regular basis every week on the Mullion Haw Show, thank you to BetMGM as the ambassador. He is a family guy, and he's a guy that obviously family mattered a lot more to him as he grew through his career. He talked about wanting to be in Detroit because it was close to Chicago, as one of his family members went through cancer. His family now with Kaylee and his sons, it just is very important to him to come back to Chicago. When he says he never forgot where he came from, that is true, and you know it by the way that he lives his life. So he can have 300 friends and be performing with Cindy Crawford on a Saturday night and Eddie Vedder, and you're going to see Wayne Gretzky there today. But no matter how famous he is and how much a man about town he becomes, it's always about everything starting at home for him.
Yeah, no, I think it's very cool. He is one of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He is a Chicagoan. I know that obviously starting his career in Montreal, we've barely even talked about the significance of him going to the Blackhawks when he was, you know, traded from Montreal to the Blackhawks for the great Dennis Savard. And at the time, like Dennis Savard, you know, we talk about, I know nobody is Patrick Kane, Haw, but Dennis Savard was really popular
Mr.
player.
Spinarama.
Mr. Spinarama.
He had the flashes.
Absolutely.
He had the explosive
he
plays.
He is a wildly popular Blackhawk to this day. So even the intrigue with how Chelios got to the Blackhawks and then how he was traded to Detroit, and I know it was with his okay, but you know he ended up getting his three NHL titles. Too bad none of them were with the Blackhawks.
This is no disrespect to Chris Chelios, who we just spent the last 3 hours honoring. But it does, we talked about, Brent Seabrook also wore number 7. When I see number seven, you do eventually get there. He played 1,114 games for the Blackhawks. He was part of 3 Stanley Cup champions, and he was one of the more underrated leaders in that dressing room. And I always felt like a little bit overlooked because he played on this. He was paired with Duncan Keith. He was on a team with Taze and Kane. He was with Corey Crawford, who was the guy you could not win without. Brent Seabrook was the easiest guy to not give credit to.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that he necessarily deserved to have his jersey retired, but he spent from 2005 until 2020 in a Blackhawk uniform. That's not to be forgotten at a day we're all going to gaze at number 7 and remember the greatness of Chris Chelios.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, Duncan Keith was great, and Brent Seabrook was really good.
Yes.
He was really good player, and, you know, some nights he was better than Duncan Keith. Look, Duncan Keith was outstanding. I mean, defensive player of the year, what, twice? Two or three times in his career. So, you know, it's tough when you play with a guy like that to get the attention. But I do think, you know, and having watched so many of Brent Seabrook's games, he always got the right amount. I mean, he wasn't nobody. You know what I mean? Brent Seabrook was a core player for the Blackhawks titles. Like, he wasn't an extra. He was a core guy, and he was really good. He just wasn't as good as Duncan Keith and not as good as Chris Chelios.
We're getting a lot of feedback on the text line, Grody. Somebody said that this sounds like it's the in memoriam segment. Chris Chelios alive and well.
Yeah, looking
like a million bucks, too.
Yeah,
great tan. He's fit.
Yeah.
He looks like he can go out and take a shift.
Turn on the radio. Why are they reminiscing about why is Chris Chelios trending right now? No, he's absolutely okay right now. Seabrook was a little bigger than those guys,
yes,
too. Like, Seabrook knocked you around. Not that Chelios would knock you around,
8-4-7. Chelios never won anything in Chicago. Seabrook is the better number seven, no question.
Well,
How about that? Those are the people I'm speaking to.
Hey,
the modern-day Blackhawk fan.
Absolutely fair.
They're there.
Absolutely fair. No, I mean, like I said, really good defenseman who did win three titles, and he was a reason why they won. Like, he wasn't a bit player. He wasn't a late acquisition. He was there when the Blackhawks were a joke in this town. And so was Duncan Keith, for that matter. When you go over to the United Center, there'd be 5,000 or 6,000 fans, that little blip in, you know, the early 2000s.
They weren't on television. They were off the radar. They were the definition of irrelevant.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, they were White Sox.
Oh, no, it was terrible. I mean, I remember.
Ooh, sorry.
Yeah. White Sox.
It's not 5:30 in the morning.
I mean, it was very easy to get Blackhawks tickets then, and there's literally 5,000 to 6,000 people. And this is not that long ago. I remember one of my beats when I was at WBBM was the Blackhawks. This was the Mike Smith GM era. Brian of the Sutters was the head coach.
Sutter was that?
Yeah, that was Brian of the Sutters.
Did you know all of them?
I did not know all of them, but Brian Sutter stared me down one time. He and I did not see – actually, we did see eye to eye, but it was his eyes just breaking through mine at the time. But – They got better at that, you know, eventually, but those guys were there for some horrible years, too.
Mark, it has been a pleasure to sit here and talk hockey with you for 3 hours. We don't do it a lot on the Score, but this was definitely worthwhile. We got a lot of people to thank before we get out of here, starting with BetMGM, the sponsor. Terrific show, terrific venue. Thank you very much. Also to Kaiser Tiger. Great food and drink, guys.
Yeah, Kaiser
Sose,
too.
Thank you so much for being gracious hosts. And the crowd is heading over to the United Center soon. It was busy in here, and this was a terrific experience. Of course, Mitch Rosen, our guy,
Vice
President of the Score. Yeah, he definitely kept track and wanted us to keep on pace and on schedule. And this is his idea, right?
You forgot to say hi to his buddy Dale Talon. That's on you.
I was doing 100
things. That's on you, man.
Okay, thank you for pointing that out, Grody.
Well, no, he asked me to do it, too.
Say the quiet part out loud. That's why I love you. Ryan Porth, thank you for being here. Hockey guy, hockey fan. Even though you love the Preds, I still think you're worth having here. So,
yeah. Ryan. Thanks,
Porth,
Ryan. No, Ryan did a lot of –
Brandon Fryer, a producer extraordinaire.
Fry guy, say less.
Oh, my gosh. Brandon Fryer, without him, I don't think we would be on here. Leo Stadaher, the associate producer. Chris Tannehill, the Sultan of Sound, or something like that.
Yeah, Tanny. Tanny, by the way, said that on the second Frank Thomas home run in Oakland, that there was sort of a sarcastic boo out there. I'm not exactly sure what that is, but Tannehill was there, and yes, so there was, to confirm, we're talking about a relation to what if Kane scores goals.
Is that your
today.
Google, Tannehill's memory?
Well, he was listening,
I mean, really.
Man. You don't believe?
That was a long time ago.
You don't trust Tannehill?
I was there.
Wait.
I was there.
Okay, then you should remember.
I recorded it for the Chicago Tribune.
Why
I
was there?
Tannehill over me? I was there. Anyway, thank you, Tanny. And also Dustin Rhodes, the executive producer of the Mully and Haas Show, did a lot to get the guests lined up, did a lot behind the scenes. Thank you to everybody for making this really a worthwhile experience. If you're a hockey fan, today is great to be in Chicago at the United Center, and you want to get there. And you want to get there fast, guys.
Yeah, you guys are.
They're going to start the ceremony at 3:15.
I could have done the last 10 minutes of the show. I know you guys are running over there right now. I could have taken care of this. I got a lot of friends here right now.
We're not out of here yet, though. We want to thank you. We're going to get out of here. But while we do and scurry over to the UC a few blocks away, you want to listen to this, put together by Brandon Fryer, a tribute to Chris Chelios, the Blackhawk, who has his jersey number 7 retired at 3:15 today. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you Monday morning on the Mully and Haas Show, 5:30 to 10. You've been listening to David Haw and Mark Grody on 670 The Score.
And on defense, 1989 Norris Trophy winner from Chicago, Illinois, one of your own, from the Chicago Blackhawks, number 7, Chris Chelios.
A rousing ovation for the native of Chicago, a member of the Blackhawks, and an all-star first-teamer, Chris Chelios.
An NHL record. No team has ever won 11 straight playoff games until now. And the Blackhawks will make their first appearance in the Stanley Cup Finals in 19 years.
Mike Keenan told me yesterday that Chris Chelios in the playoffs has played as well as any defenseman that he has ever coached.
Chelios scores! Tarasso got a piece of it, but not enough. Power play goal by Chelios of Chicago.
The winner for the Norris Award goes to... I don't know this guy. Chris Chelios.
Chelios, the shot! He scores! Chris Chelios!
What can he do as a captain? Provide some offense.
Hawks win! Hawks win again! Chris Chelios in overtime! After the Savard setup, Hawks are into the Western Conference Finals!
Chris Chelios is not human.
Three-time Stanley Cup winner, a three-time Norris Trophy winner.
Not only will he go in the Hall of Fame, I think he should go in the Smithsonian.
Please welcome Chris Chelios, inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
I owe everything in my life to my family, my friends, and this great game of hockey. What a great ending. Thank you very much, everybody.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.